Hey, bats, kiddos, Joker here, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a very big episode of the BCP. Yeah, I'm excited for this one, Goodest Brother.
Real
this
Jack,
one,
baby.
That's right. This one is long overdue in what we call the year of the big man. Please welcome to the show. He is the Pro Wrestling Magic Heavyweight Champion. He is the Meadowlands Monster, Mr. Lou Bruno. Lou, what's up, man? Thanks for a few minutes, bro.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
No, we're not worthy over here, man.
Yeah, it's on our side over here.
Dude, so much to talk about, dude. I love the big man. Like, I love the high flyers and stuff like that. But one of my all-time favorites, and I think might be yours, I want to get right into this, my guy, the Big Red Machine, dude. I saw that picture of you and him. I want to know about that interaction, man. I want to know about meeting Kane, who's in my top three of all time, man. What was that like for you? What was that experience like?
So you guys just had GoPro the other day, when they were starting off, I kind of helped them out whenever they kind of needed help. You know what I mean? So Andy did a show. If I'm not mistaken, I think that was Boardwalk Beatdown. Not Boardwalk Beatdown. That was I forget the name of that big convention they do every year in Queens.
Oh, is it big event? Is it WrestleCon? Is it WrestleCon?
Big event. Yeah. So Andy, the owner of GoPro, was like, hey, you want to come with me? I could use your help. I brought some stuff of my own to kind of like sell. And then while I was there, it was this past year, Kane was the headliner. And my friend was there. He was like, hey, dude, I know you're a big Undertaker Kane fan. He's like, I got an extra ticket to meet Kane. You know, would you like it? The kid that I got it for didn't show up. Wow. So I'm like, listen, I'm like in a different level. Like, yeah, I want to mark out, you know what I mean? I want to be like, yeah, absolutely. You know, let me go buy a Kane figure just to have him sign something. But I wanted to take the opportunity kind of just to talk to him if I could for a few seconds.
Yeah.
So I waited online, you know, I didn't have anything with me. I was just standing there, this big tall dude, mingling with the folks. And then I come up to Kane and he kind of like looks at me, looks me up and down. He's like, should I sit down? And I'm like, why would you sit down? He's like, you're kind of making me look bad. Cause I was with him, and it was a cool feeling, you know, considering I grew up watching this guy, you know what I mean? For him to talk to me that way, like, you know, damn, like, you're a big dude. Nah, man, like, you're the big dude. Yeah, I grew up watching you. I have some of the ways I wrestle because of you and Undertaker and Diesel. And so it was a really cool feeling, man. Definitely a surreal feeling.
That's awesome, man. And I love the picture because it's almost like, you know, you guys are going to square off, man. That's so cool.
That's what I told. I told him, I was like, you mind if we had a little square down photo just for me personal? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. And then like he squared up with me and the crowd was watching, right? And when we squared up, the crowd was like, ooh.
Yeah.
I'm like, he'll sign it. So I'll fucking do anything you want me to do, bro.
That's awesome, man. Kane, dude. No doubt in my mind, we might see that for real. You know, we saw Kane come back at the Rumble not too long ago. And let's be real, man. A lot of our friends on the indies we've had on the show 1 year ago, 2 years ago are getting those opportunities. You know, the world's been crazy, but the opportunity is there. Not to be cliche, man, but we're seeing a lot of our friends pop up on AEW Dark. We're seeing a lot of our friends signed with NXT, man. And I love it. There's opportunity for everyone.
Dreams coming true.
You know, even for the interview, like, this is a big man. Like, in my mind, there's no doubt in my mind, it's not a matter of if, just a matter of where and just a matter of when. What are your goals moving forward long term?
Like you said, man, I want my opportunity. I want to be able to show what I can do as far as a big man. I may not be as flashy as what wrestling is today.
Yeah.
But I still feel like there is a need somewhere for the big guy still, just because, like, we're a dime a dozen, I guess you could say. There's not many of us left. It's all about high flyers. It's all about quick. It's all about luchadors. It's all about just like this new age, which is all fine and dandy. But like, I'm trying my hardest to keep up with that by kind of like throwing some things that big men don't really do. I've been working on the, you know, Brody was doing it, and Eddie Guerrero's, you know, in over the top rope, rolling off the guy. You know, I did it within the first two times of trying it. And I mean, I shouldn't be able to do it that easily. And just kind of pushing myself to where I'm not going to kill myself, but I can still wow people. Like, damn, you know, I didn't expect this guy to do that. You know what I mean? So my goal is definitely just an opportunity anywhere possible. But the number one goal would still be WWE for me. You know, I think that's still the major leagues. That's still the top place to be, whether or not the stories, everybody has stories, everybody has problems. For me, it's not about, like, I'm not trying to be some superstar per se. I just want to be able to provide for my family doing something I love. So if I'm in the back just working out, getting a suntan, they don't have nothing for me, but they're paying me still, I'm going to be happy, man.
Living the dream, like you said.
I'm going to be happy. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, bro. Anywhere where I can get some insurance to fix my teeth, yeah, I'm happy.
No, I love it, bro. And I would have no doubt in my mind creative has something for you, bro, moving forward. No doubt in my mind. And I did do my homework for the interview. I did see some of those videos you posted. You mentioned the Eddie Guerrero move. I think you did one where you came over the top rope and just kind of like, you call it like an overcast, like neck breaker, and then a suicide dive too. Yeah, go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did the suicide dive on Adam Payne. He swore to me he'd catch me, so I believed him. And he did. He caught me, and we both landed very nice and safely. But yeah, man, I could pull out all those things. I could do the old school pretty well too. You know, I don't look, you know, shaky or anything. So like, I'm like, I want to kind of make it my own. People were like, you know, you can't really do the old school. That's the Taker's move. Why are you doing that? And then I see, you know, Murderhawk, whatever his name is. Everybody's always comparing me to him. Yeah, they're always comparing me to him and stuff, and that's fine. I guess it's an honor. But he started doing the old school and then doing it into, like, that backflip that he does.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I guess nobody gave him issues for doing the old school, so it's time for me to kind of bring it and take it in my own. So I'm figuring, hey, they walk over there, you know, do the old school and do a blockbuster right off the old school. And I did it, and there was a few people there when I did it. They were all kind of like, damn, bro, if, you know, if you can get that off, that's pretty – leveling up a little bit. So
I think you can. And I think there's a place for like those moves still for sure, man. First name, we're terrible name drops, but first name drop, Jake came on the show and he said, you know, when he did the DDT, no one kicked out of it, you know? So now we've seen how like the DDT evolved. So that is that kind of your philosophy, man? You take like old school or you take like some of these, not traditional big man moves and kind of evolve them, taking them from the old school pages.
So, my mentality with some of the moves that I do that are from some old guys are kind of like just kind of keeping that era of wrestling alive, I guess, because I feel like wrestling's changing so much that people are slowly forgetting the main aspect, which is the storytelling part of wrestling. You know, it's all about kind of like, let's put this guy and this guy together. It's awesome. We want to see them wrestle, but there's no build for the match. There's no storytelling at all. It's just, let me do as many moves as I can within the shortest period of time. But then you're wrestling for 15 minutes. What are you giving the fans toward the end of those 15 minutes when you did everything possible in the first 2 minutes of the match? I feel like you need to build it. You need to kind of like tell a story. Listen, man, I'm not, like I said, I'm not flashy and anything like that. I'm going to hit you with some powerful moves like the spine buster. I felt like the spine buster was one of the best moves I saw growing up. Arn Anderson, that move was just pulling it out of nowhere and the way he did it. I think that my spine buster is almost identical to Arn Anderson.
Wow.
I get it pretty damn good. There's one thing that I will be cocky on is that is my spine buster is probably the best in the indies right now.
Okay.
You like can't mess with a 7 foot spine buster. And, you know, I do it like Arn. You know, that's pick him up, spin with it. Just drill them through the mat as hard as you can. So the goal is just kind of keep those legends alive. You know what I mean? That's awesome. Old school every now and then, you know, show people, hey, even if you didn't know who did it, somebody will be like, damn, that's cool. And then somebody in the crowd will be like, yeah, the Undertaker used to do that. You know, the younger crowd, who the fuck's the Undertaker? You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, you know, just keeping their fucking legend alive, man, you know?
I love that mentality, man. That's awesome. Me, I came in late to the game with the Ruthless Aggression era, but you know, I've learned my history and stuff like that, man. So I really appreciate you doing that. I did have Matt Vertigo as the best spinebuster on the indie, so I'm going to have to see you, and we look forward to seeing you on Saturday, man, the 7th yeah. spinebuster. I can't wait for that.
I'll bust it out for you at some point, so yeah. don't worry about that.
There you go. No doubt in my mind.
So you touched on a little bit. You touched on a little bit, you know, it influences like Kane, Undertaker. Were you a fan growing up as well, like as a kid? When did you get into wrestling, and how'd you get into the business?
I've been watching wrestling ever since as far back as I can remember. You know, the typical, you know, I've watched wrestling my whole life. You know, my dad introduced it into me young. I wasn't too much invested in it, but I watched it with him. He bought me the figures. I used to wrestle with them. Oh, but to be like completely, you know, into it, I wasn't there yet. But my real like hardcore watching was the Attitude Era, you know, WCW, Monday Night Wars. You know, that's when, you know, at school you're home and you're flipping through each, you know, commercial. What I miss. Yeah. And then, you know, so I've been watching it pretty much my entire life, you know what I mean? If I know now what I do about collectibles and action figures, I would have kept all my Hasbros, because I literally had the entire collection of Hasbros. It was like one gift I remember as a kid.
Oh, wow.
My father gave me a box. It was this big box. And when I opened it, it was like the entire series. It was all of them. It was the ring. It was like the whole nine. So like, I kick myself now because I'm like, yo, I see some of these going for $300-$500, like, and they're not even brand new. So I'm like, oh my God, dude, what an idiot.
Yeah, I'm a video game collector, so I feel the same way. Like, oh man, if I kept some of these in the box, I never opened them. Like, oh boy.
Crazy. Yeah, dude, I had Game Boy, like black and white Game Boy, the big brick. I had that. You know what I mean? You know, I have a top loader Nintendo, like the original top loader Nintendo.
I got you.
Like, it's pretty rare to get those. And
yeah, it is hard to find, yeah.
And it like still works, dude. It's amazing. Like, it shocks me. I just bought my girl, her favorite Nintendo game was Bugs Bunny Crazy Mansion or whatever the hell.
Oh, Crazy Castle.
Yes. Tina. So I brought her that and we put it in and it just started playing. It was just like, it's nostalgic. I'm 84. I was born 84. So.
I was born 85. So yeah, that's one of the main reasons why I collect games, because it's fun to play still, but I'm super nostalgic. So.
We were the last great era, brother.
We were, man. That's right, man. So, Lou, I want to ask you, man, like, you know, you talk about always being a fan of the business growing up, you know, your dad being very encouraging of it. Like, as a kid or a teen, were you, like, always, like, the tall guy? Were you involved in sports? Were you the guy getting the rebounds? Were you the guy on the field? Like, what was that like for you growing up?
Yeah, I was the tall, lanky, goofy, you know, like, he's the tall kid, you know, just put the tall kid under the basket and the hoop and just run rebound,
yeah.
You know, and I didn't know better. My mom was a pretty tough, you know, single mother. So like we were raised, I'm from a strict Cuban home. So we were raised like real, real strict. And, you know, I didn't get a lot of chances to play all sports growing up. So like my first real like introduction to like team sports was freshman year of high school. I played football. I decided, hey, Ma, I want to join football. She's like, yeah, go ahead, go join football. Let's see how long that lasts, you know? And it was tough, dude. It was tough. Not knowing shit. And me coming from like North Bergen, where it's like these kids are playing peewees and like high school coaches are scouting them from their like 5 years old. I'm trying to, you know, just come on to the high school team, and I'm a nobody, and I'm getting hammered by all these kids that just live and die football. But I was a triathlete. I played football, baseball, and basketball all the way up to junior year of high school. Then junior year, I kind of just stayed with basketball into my senior year. Then I went to Ramapo College. I got redshirted, so I never really had actual years of college playing. I did try out and did make the team. But I was redshirted and school really wasn't for me. I've always had a problem fitting, you know what I mean? Like even in the workplace, I've done so many different types of jobs and it's just like, I feel like wrestling is where I'm supposed to be. So like, I'm really hoping and praying. I'm trying to fit the dream into reality because I have three kids. I'm a truck driver. I don't have a lot of time to, you know, like Steve Dipke talks crap about, you know, when was the last time this kid hit a gym? Listen, bro. He's got a father. We all got dads to a certain point.
Yeah.
Dad strength ain't no joke, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've been working manual labor jobs my entire life. Fucking fencing, fucking carpentry, fucking cooking. I'm a truck driver. I'm a certified forklift operator. You know, you name it, I can do it. I can bake. I can cook. I can do it all. I can do it all. So, like, I'm just trying to be as real as I can. I'm not a gimmick, even though it may look like I'm a gimmick in the ring. The only thing gimmick about me is my gear, I guess, you know, and I get talked crap about that too. Oh, Kevin Nash wannabe. I'm like, all right, jealous because I look better than you in my gear.
Wait till they get hit with that spine buster.
Yeah, you know, it's whatever, man. It's a bunch of superstars in the industry.
Yeah, man. Well, I wouldn't try to get under your nerves if that was your opponent, yeah. Man. Like that's not a good game plan. But yeah, man, obviously you are defending the title this Saturday, February 13th at Pro Wrestling Magic. Tickets are still available. Shameless promo. Lou, what's your strategy going into this one to hold on to this title, man? I mean, obviously you're forced to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I'm just coming in and beating the crap out of whoever's put in front of me, man. I really don't care. I hear in the grapevine things are changing on the card. I'm supposed to have a triple threat with Gypsy and Casey Navarro. I guess the spotlights and the television time is mushing their brain already because I guess they're forgetting that they had a title shot that they both wanted, and it looks like they might not be there. So. We'll see, dude. I don't really care. My strategy is just what I've had strategy my entire life. Whatever's put in front of me, I just try to get right through it as hard as I can and as fast as I can.
Yeah, and you're a fighting champion, man. You know, like, whoever's across from me, let's do this thing. I appreciate that. And also what I appreciate, you seem like an extra mile guy from what I've seen on social media. Have you, I mean, you don't have to give it away here. Have you worked on the belt or re-leathered or something? Like, you're posting things with the belt here and there. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, so I'm one of the longest reigning Dark Arch champions in Magic history. When I won the title was pretty beat up and it was kind of like falling apart. And I'm a very prideful person. I respect the industry. I respect what it means to be a champion. You know, I know people within the industry where they, you know, they know how to leather titles and they redo titles and all this stuff. So, you know, I sent it away. I sent it away so it looks nice. So if you look at the Dark Arts title, that's not what it looked like when I got it. I changed it. I put the NWA stitching around the entire belt. It's red leather with a black backing. So, you know, put some pride into it, you know, and then they stripped me of it because of some bullshit that happened, which whatever. But I never lost the title. I've never lost the title. In my mind, I'm the first ever dual champion in Magic history. I've never lost the Dark Arts. I took the heavyweight title off of Smiley. So when I took the belt off of Smiley, you know, all the past champions seemed to not give a crap about the actual belt. Me being a big man, the artwork of the title that Magic uses is the Andre 87. It's the title that was created for Andre the Giant. So yeah, it's all little nitpicky things for me, but I'm not going to hold the title that was created for the God of Big Men and disrespectfully carry it around looking like a piece of crap. Yeah. So I have something in the weights. I'm gonna unveil it at the show. They're gonna see the new title. There's gonna be a new heavyweight championship title, and it's just furthermore reason for everyone to understand that you're gonna have to kill me to take it off. I'm not letting this one go. And whether you like me, you hate me, it's something you're gonna have to learn to love, man.
No, I believe it, man. You take so much pride in all that, and I very much respect that. Like I said, guys, don't get on this guy's bad side, as we know Smiley has, our poor friend Shane Fair, who we're looking forward to seeing at the show, man. But, you know, you talk about being very prideful. You talk about your heritage growing up in a very strict, I think you said, Cuban family. So,
Cuban.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right.
Yeah.
But big big, I guess, cooker. And like, I saw you with the meats and the seasoning. Like, we love that. Our guy, the Andy Smart, does a lot of like the barbecue and yeah, stuff like that. The brisket. Yeah. Always tags Corbin in that stuff. But yeah, man, dude, like, tell us about some of the stuff you cook, 'cause like, we love that stuff.
So my family owned a restaurant a few years back. It was called the Feel Good Bar and Lounge. It was in Secaucus, New Jersey. Okay. It was a Spanish, Cuban American fusion type of thing, bar, lounge.
Okay.
So that's what I was doing for a while, before I got my CDL. I was working in the kitchen, and then at night I was bouncing, checking IDs, throwing fucking stupid people out and stuff like that. So working with, the cook we had, his name was Lucas, the Dominican dude. Amazing food, man. Like this, like, I enjoyed working because like everything he made was delicious and you got to taste it and, you know, you learn from it. So like certain things I like to cook, like meats, you know, chickens, meats, stuff like that. I'm not too much of the side dish guy and the, you know, stuff like that. I'm a barbecue type of dude. So you give me any type of meat or fish or whatever, I'll season it and cook the hell out of it. You should know, fellow Cuban, I make a tres leche.
Oh, my God.
And más bueno que hay por el área. It's the best tres leche there is in New Jersey. I put my life on that, bro.
Whoa. Okay. All right. I'm going to have to look into that.
When I started making it, I learned it from a guy who worked for us, and I started making it. I used to have couples coming in every Friday, Saturday night just for my café con leche and a slice of my tres leche, bro. And I had a restaurant in Hoboken buying it for me. I would make like 2 to 3 cakes for this company every fucking week. So like, I know what a tres leches is. I'm from Bergen, you know, I'm from the Hudson County. So I lived and breathed Bergen Line Avenue up and down from 90th to First Street, all the way to Jersey City, all the way to North Bergen. I know that like the back of my hand. So I've tried what they say is a tres leche and I'm Bergen Line. But that shit is garbage. It's like this fucking thin. It's fucking dry. It tastes like it's old. I give you like a cake like that thick, bro, and it's oozing the milk and the I put dulce leche on it, man.
I was about to say, yeah, it's been a while.
I'm a bit of a foodie. I'm gonna have to make one for you guys then, man.
Oh, I mean, I'm not gonna be mad at that.
That's awesome.
When things start opening up better, bro, and we can coordinate it better, I'll bring you guys a cake. I promise.
I appreciate it. That's legit. Yeah,
that'd be great.
Champion in and outside of the ring, man. And real quick, just, you know, since we're talking about food and stuff, man, I saw your post. You're a big coffee guy. We're big coffee guys over here. Do you go to like different places, or do you like, you know, grind your own beans and do that whole thing? Or
I'm not there yet. I'm scared to go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really need any more like issues or more things to have to do. I just live on coffee. I'm a truck driver. Like, bro, I'm up at 3 o'clock every day. Like, people don't realize it, man. I laugh. You know, a lot of people, they like talk smack and they act tough and all this stuff, but most of them are living in their parents' homes. They don't have girlfriends. They don't know what responsibilities are. Yeah, you can live and breathe the gym and work out, but I'm up at 2-3 o'clock. And I'm driving for 15, 16 hours a day. I'm driving all day. I'm covered in fucking diesel and dirt and garbage. And I'm unloading and loading and waiting and fighting. And like, and then I come home and I gotta like, you know, go to the gym or, you know, or do something with my kids or do the homework with them or whatever the case is. So like, a lot of people don't realize I'm your average dude. I'm the Stone Cold. You know what I mean? I'm that guy people can relate to. I'm a bad guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. I'm me. If you don't like me, you can go to hell. If you like me, good. I still don't care. You don't pay my bills. You know what I mean? I'm doing this to make money. I'm doing this to support my family. I got nothing else. A pit bull. When you corner a pit bull, they're going to bite. They're going to come at you. They're going to defend themselves. That's what I feel at the point in my life. I feel like I've done it all. I've done it all, dude. I've slept in bus stops. I've walked the streets. I've had nowhere to go. I've been broke. I'm still struggling. I've been literally put through the ringer. A lot of people don't know anything about me because I don't go hang out. You know what I mean? I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a druggie. You know what I mean? Like, I focus on my job. I try to stay focused on it. It's hard because my mind's in wrestling, but I have to also prioritize where, you know, what's more important, my kids eating or me going to roll around with someone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would love to be able to just go roll around with someone, but I don't have anybody paying my way. So, like, I'm a pretty real dude, bro. I'm your normal, you know, blue collar fucking guy. I don't know what else, you know, people need to know.
Yeah, just put on your hard hat and get to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Keep it real. And like we always say, family first here. But that being said, obviously, and shout to all our truck driver friends. We know a lot of people in the business that obviously do that. And apparently you guys make really good time for long distances, from what I hear, man. So shout to all you guys.
Now, I was going to ask, what's your favorite coffee? The Dunkin', just any convenience stores open? What is it?
Bustelo, bro. Bustelo. You should know. You're Cuban.
Oh, okay. All right.
See,
I got you.
See, that's my number one.
See, I was raised by Puerto Ricans. So
okay, so it's Pilon, right? You had Pilon or La Llave or one of those. I know my stuff, bro.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. I hear the accent, so I got you.
I got you.
Yeah, for some reason, Puerto Ricans like Pilon, and it's funny because my grandmother, you know, we were raised on Bustelo. I always saw Bustelo.
Yeah, and I always saw that too.
She's getting older now. Well, she's old now, and she like kind of like cracked me. She's like, yeah, it wasn't always Bustelo. I would buy the bricks and pour it in the Bustelo can. I'm like, yo, are you serious right now? Like, my childhood's been a lie. Like, I thought I was drinking Bustelo and you were giving me Pilon the whole time. That's not cool, dude. That's not cool at all.
Oh boy. Mr. Bruno, I did want to touch on this a little bit, man. And with all due respect, like this was one of my favorite moments of last year, but obviously you were part of a battle royale. I believe a 10-year-old squared up with you, and yeah. You were essentially eliminated. I mean, with all due respect, you were essentially eliminated. Any thoughts on that or any comments?
Oh, bro, it was my idea, bro.
Oh, really? It was great. Yeah, it was great.
I didn't listen, man. It was a special night.
It was.
You know, wrestling in the long and short of it is for kids. It's kid entertainment. So I'm like, you know, people bring me in the show sometimes and they don't have a purpose for me. They just want me to go out there, be in a rumble and get eliminated. And I have a little bit more goals than just to be a, you know, Frankenstein. You know, I can work. Yeah. I can move. I can wrestle. I can storytell. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not a complete idiot. So when I found out Chad's son was going to be in the Rumble, I looked at Casey and I was like, yo, what can we do to put the kid over? You know what I mean? Yeah. And we thought up that little spot and I'm like, listen, you know, when you come at me, Casey's going to lift you up. I'll catch you. Don't be scared because I'm going to hold you. And then I'll basically plant your feet down and I'm going to just take off. I'm going to make you look like $1 million. And it worked out great.
Yeah.
It worked out great. So it was something I'll never forget. I enjoyed it. It wasn't something forced on me. It wasn't something I wanted to do. I went over to Chad and I said, hey, can I put your son over? And he looked at me. He was like, really? I was like, yeah, dude, I'm not about this for clout and like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I become popular, I become popular. But I'm doing something I love. And I know the root of all. I know what it means. I know what it means for that little kid. He'll never, ever. Carter will never forget that moment.
Love it. Yeah. I mean, that was one of my favorite moments. And it looked great, too. It looked
really did.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Really well. Really well said. And obviously, you know, you talk about your goals. Like I said, like a lot of the guests we've had on the show, man, like, you know, we see people that really are the real deal. And I believe that you're one of them, man. And I'm so excited to see you on Saturday. If you do, and hypothetically, we always ask guests, this one's a favorite question we like to ask, but if you do get that WrestleMania entrance, that WrestleMania moment, what band is playing you out to the ring?
Who's playing me out?
Yes, sir.
I don't know, man. I'm big on Spanish reggae, bro. Reggaeton is like my number one thing.
That's
this Bad Bunny thing, bro, has got me. I'm like jealous and angry. Like I wanna be Punisher, man. Like I'm like, dude, man, this guy got hooked up with Bad Bunny. Like that's, you couldn't ask for a bigger push in your career. The guy's known all over the world. So, I mean, I'm probably going with Bad Bunny, bro.
Okay.
Like legit. Like, I ain't even joking on that. That's not even like a... You can ask my family. They're sick and tired of me listening to the Bad Bunny. I can sing all the songs, and I'm a mark for Bad Bunny, bro. I'm a mark for any Spanish music, period.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, and rumor that he'll be involved in a WrestleMania match at some point. We'll see what that looks like going forward.
So, I mean, we probably know the answer already, but, you know, so Bad Bunny's playing you down the aisle. Who is your opponent at WrestleMania? Who's your dream or any dream match?
Past, present, future.
Past, present, future.
Oh, man. Like, it could be anybody even in their prime.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Anybody.
I'm probably going to be, you know, typical. I'm going to say The Undertaker, man.
That's not the best answer. Yeah, that's not a bad answer at all.
I'm going to say Undertaker, Purple Glove Undertaker.
There you go.
Okay. Man Reaper Undertaker. And then possibly, you know, American Badass Undertaker. I wouldn't have been against throwing fists with him.
Okay.
You think he's done for real?
Listen, man, you know how, like, when you wrestle for WWE, apparently they let you pitch ideas for them. So my dream scenario would be to somehow pitch to Vince McMahon that so The Undertaker debuted in about 86-ish. I was born in 84.
Okay.
I was like, it'd be awesome. You had Undertaker come back. One of those Monday Night Raws, you know, reunion show type of thing. You have him getting jumped by some people. And out comes this tall ass, mysterious looking dude, all leathered out type thing. Defends the Undertaker, stare down, leaves. Who the hell is this guy? You could play the whole, you know, you knocked up my mother and you left us while you followed your career to become some fucking phenom legend. And you forgot about me, your son. You know what I mean?
Like, okay.
I always thought in the sense of like, if you could story tell properly, it would be cool to be able to continue the Undertaker's legacy. And not just by like having the gong every now and then, actually have somebody kind of like mentored by him. And like, you know, so I was like, I'm the disgruntled son that you left behind, and I'm back to try to mess you up, but in the same sense, I have that inner turmoil where I'm not, you're my dad, and you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna try to look you out. So I was like, yo, I got a lot of ideas and shit. So I'm like, that'd be pretty fucking cool if you could play it off. It doesn't even have to be me, but I'm like, dad, I think that's a pretty cool storyline if you could get it going, right?
That'd be cool. I see that definitely in the world of wrestling for sure. Fan question real quick. We do want to be respectful of your time, Lou, but everyone's asking the secret to the beard, bro. It looks great.
A lot of love. man, oils, man. A lot of people don't know about it, I guess. So there's beard oils that help your hair grow. And, you know, I wash my beard. Like people say beards are dirty, but I wash my beard every 2 or 3 days, shampoo, conditioner. I have creams that I put in to kind of like keep it from like, sometimes it's just like frizzy.
Yeah.
But man, I was blessed, man. I was blessed. I might be losing my hair up top, but I ain't losing any hair.
Yeah. I just started growing mine out the past few months. I never had a beard before, so I'm starting to get used to it. It's good, bro.
Yeah. It's like an itch stage. Once you get past that itch stage.
Yeah. Thankfully I'm past that.
There you go.
Dude, it sucks. I know.
Yeah. It was terrible.
This is like 4 years now, man, since I started wrestling. So I've been wrestling for 4 years.
Oh, really?
I ain't going to cut it until I get signed.
Wow, man. I mean, we're asking the hard hitting questions here. But beard looks great, man. And before we get out of here, I do want to ask you this because you are doing very, very well. You said 4 years in, you are the champion for Pro Wrestling Magic. You know, no stranger to gold around the waist. What advice would you have for some of these up and comers? You're right, brother. Up and comers that are trying to get to that next level, trying to get over or get the heat from the fans.
As much as it's hard, it's hard not to lose your mind. It's hard to stay on track because there's a lot of people that are out there ready to derail you, ready to make you look like a fool. And trust me, it's hard every day for me to keep my mouth shut and not blow up and not be, you know, an idiot on social media and stuff like that. My greatest advice is I got to where I am today, which is really like, I don't feel like I'm anything special. I feel like I need a lot of work. I feel like I could be better. I could have more belts. I could have more fans. I could have more buzz. But the one thing that has been constant is just stay humble, show up early, help out, help break down. If you can't, make it an issue to be there early to help set up and let the people know, listen, I'm helping you set up, but I got to go do something after. Or if you can't set up, stay late and help break down. Listen, bro, I'm a champion and I'm still the one there breaking down with my guys, Lawrence and Mikey from the front row. They shouldn't be the only ones there with me. I should have people who are on the roster or even there at the show helping out, and they don't. I'm not name calling. And if you got your own thing, you got your own thing. I don't worry about what other people are doing, and nor do I care. I focus on myself. I get the help from guys that are truly, truly in love with this business and just want to be around for anything. So stay humble, keep pushing through all the adversity that's going to be thrown your way. Cause there's going to be a lot of it. There's going to be a lot of adversity thrown your way. There's going to be a lot of roadblocks. There's going to be a lot of people talking crap. There's going to be a lot of people blowing smoke up your ass, making you feel better and just trying to take advantage of you. So you just got to stick true to yourself and stay humble, man. That's all I keep doing. I don't mind going to set up the ring. You know, if you're going to show up, you're going to show up. If you're not, you're not. But at least I know that ring is put together safely. I know that the ropes are tied tightly. And I know that you can have one hell of a match all the entire show without having to tighten my ropes or fix anything on my ring. You know, I see shows where guys are running through every match to fix the turnbuckle, to tighten a rope, to fix the skirt, to fix this. You go to one of Magic shows and you look at that ring, I guarantee you won't see maybe a turnbuckle here and there because it loosens up. But as far as the ropes and the side skirts and everything, man, I put it on like if it's my WWE. That's my home. I'm going to defend it with everything that I am.
Love it, man. Keeping it real. We appreciate you opening up the
Very well talk. Said, man.
Heard nothing but really, really great things about Pro Wrestling Magic. So excited to see one live on Saturday. Guys, like we said, tickets are still available. CDC regulations are in effect. So if you're comfortable with that, guys, come on out, support the cause.
Yeah.
We'll be in action defending that title. I'm super excited for that. And Lou, just some shameless promo like we always like to do here on the BCP, my man. Where can people follow on your socials, all that good stuff?
You type in the Meadowlands Monster in Google. And you're literally going to get me. It's I got lucky picking the name. I wasn't planning on it. It's just I wanted to stay true to Sea Caucus and the area I'm from. So the Meadowlands, I'm a big Giants fan. So Meadowlands Monster. You're either going to get monster trucks or you're going to get me. So it's very easy to find me on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. Everywhere you guys can find me, I'm there. Pro Wrestling Tees. I got shirts up on Pro Wrestling Tees. Yeah. Get it done, man.
Love it, bro. Well, we always like to support everyone that's been on the show, man. Yes. So if you got any 8x10s, we'll pick one up on Saturday, man. And dude, just, you know, stay safe out there. Have a great match. Continue success moving forward, my man.
Yeah, good luck, man.
Bro, guys, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
No, it's an honor, man. And guys, like we said, Pro Wrestling Magic this Saturday, February 13th. Check it out. And like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We're out. Peace.